Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Loan Officer Impact. We are so blessed to have a really cool guest on with us today, someone I have the great privilege to call not only coworker, but friend. More importantly, friend, I've gotten to know her well over the last almost 9 years. I know her husband and her two kids very well, and I got to go play baseball with her son this summer or this spring. It was really a fun day for me. And so joining us from the great state of Florida and the city of Ocala, I'd like you to all welcome Amber Maurer. Amber, how are you?
Good. How are you? Hi, everybody.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I know you're busy, and I appreciate you taking the time to spend just a few minutes with us. And for those of you that don't know, Amber is a seasoned professional. She's had an incredibly great mortgage career. She's built a business. She attacks her business properly every day. But she also has ups and downs, just like everyone else. She doesn't have a foolproof business. She doesn't have a pie in the sky. Everything is sunshine and rainbows every day. And because that's not the mortgage business in 2023. But what I love about her is she's creative. She's smart. And she's incredibly consistent. And she understands the value of doing what it takes every day to do the little things and to build a business, not simply have a job or a career. That's what I've always marveled about my time with her. And I've learned a ton from this lady. So without any further ado, Amber, I'm going to jump into a few questions if that's all right.
Of course.
By the way, how's everything going for you down there?
You know, it's a little wild and crazy. It's summer. So yeah. The kids are out of school. We're trying to juggle vacations and quality time together with the Florida mortgage market, which thankfully I feel blessed is busy right now. But summertime is always a fun, wild, and crazy time down here. So we're keeping our heads above water right now and looking forward to a vacation next week.
Good, good. Well, I hope you have a great vacation. Gosh knows you've earned it. So let's talk about mortgages. Obviously, everyone tuning into this call knows what 20 and 21 were, and two of the best years in the history, if not the two best years in the history of our industry. And then it immediately fell in January of 2022 into arguably the toughest mortgage market that anyone on this call or on this podcast has ever seen. You've done well. You have done exceptionally well versus the national averages over the last 18 months. Could you talk a little bit about some of the things you've had to do differently or that you've chosen to do differently that have allowed you to still be very, very much in the mortgage business versus, you know, some of the other folks who maybe are struggling to close one or two loans a month?
I think what I chose to do, I mean, I've been doing this for 17 years now. So yeah. I went through 08, 09, that whole period of time with the market crash, which is not what we're experiencing right now, but you know, definitely a significant slowdown. So some of the things that I did back then, I had to think about what did I do back then in order to become successful again. And really it's, for me, it's always been the basics. And I started thinking, oh man, I need more referral partners. I need more realtors, CPAs, title companies. Like, you know, the business is constricted right now. So let me just like do everything I can to get more leads and business coming in. So I did that for a little bit, which is against what I normally do, and noticed that the quality of the business, just because you have more doesn't mean you're closing more. So I really analyzed my leads coming in, where my business had been coming from over the last 5 years, the quality of the agents referring me business. Those are the agents that I believe, despite the downturn in the market, will be here 10 years from now. They're the tried and true agents that weren't just in to make quick and easy money and make a few bucks. They're the ones that view it as a career as well and want this for their long-term success too. So I really made a plan and dedicated all of my time to going deeper with my top 20 to 30 referral partners. Having lunch with them, having coffee with them, finding out what their business looks like. Where are they getting their business from? Where do they get their quality leads, especially the ones that are really successful now? You know, what does that look like for them? What can I do to help them? And going deeper with my realtor partners on a friend level, professional level, all levels, I feel like they know that I'm in it for the long haul. I haven't been around, you know, for a hot minute. I'm not here to just, you know, we all are in this to make money, but this is my chosen career for my family and myself, has really helped me to be successful this year. They're referring me quality deals. They know, like, and trust me. They don't feel like I'm part of a company or a branch that's going to close that they can't trust their customers with. So I would say that's the number one thing that I've really, really done is just invested a lot of time in my top 20 to 30 and really gone deeper with them rather than just trying to gain a lot of new referral partners.
So let's listen to that aha moment and that takeaway, because it's really important. First and foremost, if everyone was really listening to Amber, she was strategic about it. Secondly, she made a plan. Thirdly, she implemented that plan and focused on it. And what she decided was if she had 20 to 30 people that already know her, liked her, and trusted her, that if she went deeper on the relationships with them, she would have a greater opportunity for them to refer qualified people. And you said the word qualified four times in there, which I love, because what we see happening across the country, a lot of people are willing and able to call a bunch of realtors. But if they're calling unqualified realtors, it's not producing any results. Even if they get a whole bunch of them to know them and like them and trust them, if those people aren't selling homes, it's rather a useless exercise. And so I love the fact that you solidified qualified agents and made a difference in their life. And so, like, I'm listening right now and thinking about going deeper. And that is so important, because I happen to know a few of the realtors that refer you business, and I've been able to interact and see you live and in person with them. And the love that they have for you is a different level. It's not, oh, Amber's okay. They actually care about you. And I think you just made so many good points. You're with a stable company that's able to weather this storm. That actually matters to a realtor, because if they think the company's going out of business next week, it's pretty hard to refer someone to them, you know? Right. So those are really great points. I hope everyone caught each and every point that Amber just made there. So as you approach these realtors, and when you decide strategically to build a deeper relationship, is it belly to belly, face to face? Like, are you getting with them? Are you doing events? Are you doing things? Are you going places? Or is it more phone relationship?
I would say it's a mixture of both. A lot of the agents that I do a lot of business with, I've known them and liked them and known their families for years. So I don't view it as just, you know, going to lunch or having coffee or having a cocktail with a referral partner. You know, I genuinely like them.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us really likes to do business with people we don't get along with or that we don't really like. And it's just not, I mean, the mortgage business is already super stressful. So to do it with somebody that you don't get along with makes it even worse. So amen. I really consider them my friends. You know, I like to know what they're doing with their families. Some of them have new grandchildren. You know, it makes me feel connected to them. And when I feel connected, whenever we feel connected to somebody in life, we really have a strong desire to help. And I think one thing that I've noticed that's lacking, you know, the last few years, I mean, you could just be breathing up and get business, whether it's a realtor or a loan officer. Some of the agents, and including myself, I've always predominantly been large first-time home buyer business.
Yes.
Here in my market, but that's not the case for a lot of people. I mean, the last few years, we've all experienced a lot of move-up buyers. That's not the same market that we're in right now. There's not a lot of move-up buyers. People with low interest rates are staying in their homes.
Right.
Choosing not to move up. But the first-time home buyer market is really strong right now. I don't remember what we were listening to a few weeks ago or a few months ago, that this year is the year of the first-time home buyer.
Yeah.
So I really went deep on programs that maybe I wasn't super versed in as well to help that clientele and to help my realtors attract that clientele, because some of them are not versed in first-time home buyers. They had to make a drastic shift in their business as well. So doing that, I feel like broaden their horizons and help them draw more business to be more successful, which in turn helps me.
I love it. I love, love, love it. For all the listeners, please understand, I hate the word pivot because it's so overused, but you had to pivot and you had to get good at something that you were okay at. So that takes what? It takes admitting that you weren't the expert at A and B and you became the expert at that. A lot of people can't even admit they're not the expert at something, but I think that is great and shows true professionalism. And then you took that new knowledge out to your realtor partners and helped them use it to attract more people that put paychecks in their pocket and your pocket and made people have better experiences through the process of buying their first home, right?
Right.
And again, that's strategic. And, you know, I think about that a lot when I think about you, and I think about Christmas. And I remember something you did at Christmas that I found to be really, I thought was special, and it stayed in my mind for a long time. But can I just share that little strategy that you implemented?
Sure.
So Amber took her 20 or 25 best realtors that she truly likes and that they like her. And she went through each of their social media for hours and found what she believed was probably the most important picture to each of those people that they had posted on social media in the past 12 months. She took that picture, downloaded it, and went to a local artist and had it made into some sort of lithograph type rendering of that picture. She framed it and she hand delivered it to each of the people. And to many of them, they literally cried when they got it because they knew how meaningful that picture was to them. And they knew that Amber was kind enough to recognize how meaningful that was to them and then make it a lifelong memory that they can't access, not just on their phone. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it took a lot of time. It was definitely different than something I've done before. Cause you know, we like have Christmas parties and
right.
wine baskets and all that stuff. But I really wanted to make it personal, especially coming off of a challenging year, going into facing another challenging year. Some people not knowing if they were still, you know, going to be a real estate agent, if they were going to renew their license or not. And I wanted those people to know that they're special to me and, you know, that I'm around for the long haul. Just because it's been busy the last few years, I wanted them to know I'm still here in a down market, that you can trust me. You know, this is my livelihood. I'm a real person too. You know, I've got bills and kids and things to pay, and I have fears and concerns. And those pictures meant a lot to me. Me and Dawn had a really good time making them. Arts and crafts in the mortgage business.
Yeah, right.
It was something different, but they all, I feel like that gift meant so much more than the thousands of dollars that I've spent on wine baskets and honey baked hams and parties.
Right.
And they're still on their desks when I go visit them. I do Popeyes a lot more this year than I have before as well. And when I walk in, I know it meant something because it's on their desk.
Well, I couldn't be more happy with that. And I think that's a great little takeaway for anyone out there, because anyone can buy the bottle of wine or the charcuterie board or whatever they buy, you know, and those are great. But what you did seems to be way more meaningful. And to be quite honest, I know it took you a while, but you probably spent fewer dollars on that than you might have on some other things. But what's on their desk? That bottle of wine's not sitting on anyone's desk, you know, and you are. And I'm sure every time they look at that, they think of you, and it just does nothing but deepen and solidify the relationship. And I hope everyone really understands some point here that I think is imperative. And that's called authenticity. You can't fake what Amber's saying. You can't not care about these folks and then do little things like that because it comes across as phony. And I think what I love about you, one of the things, you're always so authentic. Good, bad, or indifferent, you always know what you're getting with Amber because you never, ever lie. You never BS anyone. You never, you know, beat around the bush. You're always just so you. And I love that. And I'm sure that's what the 25 local realtors in your market that love you love about you too, is your authenticity to your family, to your business, to them, and to everyone else that touches your life is really real. And it takes someone with a brain 2 seconds to realize that you're authentic. And yet, if you're not authentic, none of that stuff carries any weight. Would you agree?
Absolutely. There's no time in life for fake friends, fake referral partners, fake employees. Yeah. Nobody likes fake.
Nope. You're building your team, right? And so if you look back from whatever, 10 years ago versus today, you do different things, right? How important is it to you to stay in your lane and to do the things that drive revenue to your business versus getting off track? Do you find yourself able to stay in your lane more, or do you find yourself getting off track more?
I would say this year of any year, I've been more on track.
Good.
I've had to, there's no choice. You have to be laser focused and stay in your lane. If you're not focused on sales, you're not getting referrals. You're not getting leads. people don't remember you. You just are forgettable. And the team that I've built in conjunction with other people from the company and stuff like that, you know, I can't take all of the credit for that. I've had help. Sometimes I've done it by myself, and sometimes it's been a combined team effort, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's really gotten me to the point where I 100%, I feel like for the first time, I mean, I've been doing this for what, 17 years, but I've been with you for almost 9.
Yeah.
This is my first year in 9 years that I leave the office to go sell or go on vacation with my family or whatever it is that I do on a daily basis. And I implicitly trust the people behind the scenes in my office, my team. They're my backbone and my support to handle everything for me. We really have a great system, but that didn't come easy. I feel like building a team is way harder than selling and getting leads and referrals. You know, that comes easy for me. The team part has been a struggle for me for years. I mean, hiring and firing people and finding the right fit, no fake people. all of that stuff, it's definitely a whole nother part of the business that has its challenges, and I've been through them all.
Yes.
The more that I'm focused on sales with the team that supports me, the better my production is. And tracking that makes me know that without a doubt, because the months that I'm in the loans or I'm in the process or out of my lane that I'm paying somebody else to do, are the months that I'm on that roller coaster. You know, I have the good sales month and then the drop, and I'm trying to deal with that. So I really am, the more I stay in my lane and stay out of it, the more they feel compelled to be proactive and take control and to be that support that I need. If I micromanage, they don't feel trusted. You know, it's not a good thing all the way around, and then it ends up, you know, hurting sales.
You couldn't have said it 1 ounce better. And if you think about our industry, there's two huge problems. Because first of all, anyone can build a team. The problem isn't that, it's how do you build a high-performing team? And a high-performance team is based on 3 things, accountability, communication, and trust. And that's what you've built now. But it's so hard to build high-performing teams. Anyone can get a group, anyone can get a team, but when the team doesn't perform, that's the norm. You've built a high-performing team, and there's a huge difference there. And I commend you on that. And it does take a while. Because it has 3 things, right? Accountability, most people don't want to be held accountable. Communication, most people are bad at. And trust doesn't come easy. And so you now finally have all 3 of those things interwoven into everyone in your team, and it allows you to stay in your lane and go sell or go do other things that you love to do in your life. And that really is what everyone on this call is striving for someday. You hit the pinnacle of what you're trying to accomplish. And when we get some tailwinds from the industry, it's going to even make that more fun. But you're doing it right now with the biggest headwinds we've ever seen. So I thank you so much. I hope everyone got, I got like seven takeaways that are going to help me have a better day today and a better business tomorrow. And that's what this show is for. It's to find high producing, successful, laser-focused people like Amber who are willing to give up a small portion of their day to help other loan officers maybe get a nugget of gold where they can implement some change in their life. So 3 things. Number one, thank you. Number two, thank you for our friendship. I love you. I love your family. You're so important to me as a human being, way more so than you are as a partner at the business. And third, for loan officers nationwide, regardless of where you work, we don't care. We just want to help bring loan officers opportunities to grow a business worth owning and to do so where they have some form of happiness and some decreased levels of stress in their life. And what we learned today from Amber Maurer in Ocala, Florida, certainly helps that. So I hope you tuned in. Amber, thanks again. Appreciate your time. Say hi to the little ones and to Dave for me. And I hope you have a great vacation in a week.
I will. Thank you for asking me to be on. I appreciate it.
Well, always a pleasure on our end. So thank you for doing it. And we'll talk to you all soon. Everyone here from Loan Officer Impact, we're signing off. Hope you have a great day. And thank you so much for tuning in.
Be sure to visit successunlimited.us for free loan officer tools, tips, and video resources. To schedule time with Kevin, visit growingwithkevin.com.